So, okay. I've got some notes here somewhere. Yeah, there we go. Everybody got any notes? If you don't, raise your hand. Tulio will get those to you. Who's those strange people in the back row right back there? Emily. Yeah. It's good to see y'all, man. Where y'all living now? Bedford? Guys, so cool to see you. Is it going good? Awesome. I need y'all to do me a favor this morning, okay? You know, anytime I preach, it's true, but I do want to emphasize it today. Anytime I preach, feel free to, you know, raise your hand and challenge anything I'm saying. Or if something that God's doing, the last thing I say is if you do that, just make sure you're in love and speak word. So, because I'll try to speak word. So let's pray a second. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege of being with my brothers and sisters. And I ask, Lord, that your spirit would come and give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, having the eyes of our heart enlightened. So, God, I just pray that you just do a mighty work this morning, giving us revelation to grow into the awesome likeness of you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I've probably heard a lot of these testimonies in and around when Paula and I were pregnant with Shay. When Paula was pregnant with Shay. You know that there's 4 years in between Shay and Michelle, and that's because it took Paula 4 years to talk me into having another kid. I'll never forget. It's almost like when we said got married. The day we said I do, I had been praying to the Lord. I said, Lord, how can I say these words to Paula? You know that we're going to be married, and. How can I say something for today when I can't even barely deal with today? And so, Lord, let these words be real. Just be careful when you give God that kind of latitude. I'll never forget when Paula started walking down the aisle, I looked up and I saw her, and it's almost like all the weddings I'll do here. When I saw Paula now coming down the aisle, man, I just busted out crying. I mean, I just, and so when it came time, where the repeat after me thing, here Paula is, just sweet, just all this kind of stuff, and I'm, and I'm going, man, alive, I prayed God would make those words real. Well, sure enough, they were real, and because the weight of the reality of here we are going to live this life together just hit me. And then also, then when all of a sudden we got, Shay was born, and all of a sudden, the nurse comes in and says, well, y'all can go home. And I said, do we have to? I literally did. Because the reality and the weight of creating this home for Shay to grow up in was just like crazy on my heart. And because one of the things is a structure, an atmosphere is what facilitates, one of the major things that facilitates growth. You can have the most fertile soil in the world, but if you don't have a great atmosphere, it's not going to grow anything. Like a lot of the soil in the Middle East, in Jordan, where you look and you just see desert. The problem is not the soil. The problem is the atmosphere around it cannot facilitate growth. And so, when we're starting talking about, we're on this destiny, talking about our growth into the likeness of Jesus, one of the things it's so easy to just miss thinking about is a structure of growth. In fact, what's what the destiny of the church is? The church of God is purposed to nothing be a place to birth sons and daughters of the Most High God, to be a giant nursery for kids coming in, people getting saved in this atmosphere of brothers and sisters and mamas and daddies, to create this atmosphere of of faith and hope and love, and so that people can grow into the very image and likeness of who Jesus is. That's the destiny of the church. And so we've on this whole big thing about growth, and so we just felt like we needed to speak into the atmosphere about the structure of growth in relationship as it pertains to dwelling place. So you go, oh, that is boring. No. No, it's true. It's real. It's just like, be honest with you, how many times have we spoke about husbands and wives and those roles and why are they important? Brothers and sisters. And this is so important for this church, for people to understand what structure God has given us to facilitate an atmosphere of growth. Now, let's just go off and talk about the foundational statement. In these four, the foundation is these four passages of Scripture that, you know, where it talks about in Romans 8:29. He also predestined us, literally, to become conformed to the image of his Son. Or in Ephesians chapter 4, where to the measure of the stature which belongs to Christ, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. And then in Colossians 1, 28 and 29, I think, which Mitch preached last week, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. And it talks about, I love that, verse 29, it talks about the power of God that's in Paul is just doing that work. And I just want to speak this into you, every one of you, and you're the power of God is in you that you may help participate with him to present every man complete in Christ. It's in you and I. The Spirit of God is trying to do that. So anyway, let's go into the next passage. And so this is the destiny that God's given us and how structure fits into this. Go to the next slide. I hope I didn't get it out of order. Watch this in Ephesians 4:11. Watch this. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Now, why building up the body of Christ? Keep going. The next. To a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Speaking the truth in love. We're to grow up into him in all aspects, into him who is the head, even Christ. Begin. Remember how this started was God has given apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Structure. Keep going to the next one. In verse 16, it says, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself up in love. See, why all that could occur? Happened because of fivefold being set apart in the verse 11. That is the end result of that. And if there is this structure is not there, spiritual growth is so much more difficult. Now, it's just like in a husband and wife. I believe that God has created and given in a home a husband and a wife to create an atmosphere that kids can be brought up to be able to grasp in faith and love who God is. Now, y'all, there are plenty of successful men and women who have endured and overcome major obstacles that would hinder that process, being single parents, and some in our church that are awesome single parents. But that task is so much more difficult. I just know how it was for Paul and I, you know, having both of us, and how hard it is to be a parent and create an atmosphere, and how joyous it is, but how hard it is. And I can't imagine a single parent. And God fills the gaps, you know. But, and I want to say this, people can grow spiritually, you know, outside these structures. God can do it. You know, one of my favorite things is occurring in the Middle East, so many people are getting saved, and nobody's not even saying anything. I mean, the biggest way that people are getting saved, I'm seriously, in the Middle East, how people are getting saved is You go and you ask a Muslim who has had a vision of the man in, dressed in white. In fact, there's a guy that's only ministry, the outreach he does, he goes to mosque and he stands at the mosque door and says, who's had a vision of the man in white? And whoever it is, he says, well, you know who it is? And no, tell us please, Jesus. So, I mean, God's doing these crazy things, but he's inviting us to participate in giving us the message of reconciliation. He's given us the joy of participating with him and birthing sons and daughters of the Most High God. And so that's the cool part. So what are the structures, big structure, the parts and elements of it that create an atmosphere of love for spiritual growth to occur? Now, y'all, I just want to say this, y'all. This is the destiny of the church, and it cannot get off track. It is not an organization to have a Sunday morning meeting, just to have a Sunday morning meeting. It's the whole thing is to labor and strive that we may present every man complete in Christ that's walking out on the streets. You know, that doesn't know Jesus yet. They got that destiny on their head to be complete in Christ. So the first thing I want to establish, the first very, very important part of this whole structure are, go to the next slide, are the saints, the body of Christ, the church, you and I. Notice this passage in Ephesians 4:12. You know, 4:11 is the one for God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the equipping of the saints. You know, where I'm going now in this week in Croatia, they got this whole big thing about who are the saints, you know, these people who do, you know, quote, big extraordinary events or whatever. Well, I just want to say, you know Jesus, your Lord and Savior. That's an extraordinary event. You're, guess what? You're a saint. And saint literally means holy one. So guess what? I mean, this is all of us. We are it. This is it. Church. What does church mean? Church is from the Greek word ekklesia, meaning literally called out ones, the ones that are called out of the world. We're it. God's called us out of the world. We're the holy ones. You know, holy meaning separate, you know, uncommon and clean. We're separate. We're it. Where God has given us this, and God's the destiny of us. You see in your notes here. Let's go to the next slide, please. To be empowered, to grow, to do the work of ministry. You remember that in Ephesians 4:15? Yeah, this is the most frustrating thing to me. Go back one slide, please. Notice this. For the equipping of the saints. What? To the work of the ministry. You know, grammatically, you know, this word, this verse is weird. You know, there's no verbs there. Equipping is not a verb. It's a noun. It's a noun. It's the object of the preposition, but I did. I couldn't tell you object or preposition if it hit me, except I see a preposition for. To, literally, it's the preposition to equip the saints, to equip. Men, supply what is lacking for the saints, for the work of service. That Greek word there for service, y'all, is a word that gets watered down in these translations. It literally means ministry. People are called, you know, Rick, are you called to ministry? Well, yeah, when I got saved. You got saved, you got to call a ministry. Amen. I mean, that's the reality. It's not who's, quote, on staff in a church who has a call of ministry. If you're a saint, you got a call. And that's the crazy, the thing is, and like, go to the next slide, please, back the one where we're at. To be empowered to grow, to do the work of ministry, taking one's place in the body of Christ. Man, what structure, greater structure it would be, is that there are no There's no big dogs in the body. There's no big dogs. You know, sure, there's some people that may have a, and we'll talk about that a little later, have a call of God to be on the forefront at times, you know. But because they're called to stand in front does not mean that they're any more special to the body than anybody else in the body. You know, sure, there's a call of God on my life to be apostolic, but, you know, and be in weird places and weird things and do weird things. But I'm going to tell you something. In the significance of the body of Christ in this, you know, a healthy body is where it's not dependent upon a person. It's because the body. It's the body functioning. And so here is the trap. To be passive as it pertains to growth and ministry. Now let me put a little commercial in here. Because God rebuked me about a couple of years ago about this thing about growth. He said, you have been guilty in dwelling place of taking a bathtub, filling it full of formula, taking a baby and sticking it in the formula and said, now grow. That does not facilitate an atmosphere of growth. He said, you had, just like when Shay and Michelle were little, you were precise in the things that you fed them, how much we fed them. I remember when Shay was born, man, pacifier hit the ground. Oh, no, boil it. Michelle came along, pacifier hit the ground. Oh. Poor Michelle. You know. What am I talking about? But what God just speaking it to us, to create an atmosphere of growth is precise. Do you know how much you're feeding? How much you're feeding the baby? Exactly, right? How much she gets. And God spoke that to us. He said, I have it. How do you know somebody's grown spiritually? I've said this one. There's indicators of spiritual growth, and we'll talk about this at a later time. Those things are important. That you know without a shadow of a doubt, you know without a shadow of a doubt that whether you're growing in your relationship with God, but I will say this to y'all, it is too big of an issue to gamble on. It is too big. I mean, you are predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus. You will stand before the Lord and you will give account for the things you've done in your bodies, whether they be good or bad, 2 Corinthians 10:5. You will. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. That you may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is right now, so are you in this world. You're growing into the very image and likeness of he is. What does that mean? Guess what is he is? His image and likeness is. He said in John 16, 33 that he was an overcomer. 1 John 5:4 says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. What is his nature and character? What are you growing into? Be an overcomer of the situations and circumstances in this world. He's holy. You are holy. You're set apart, uncommon and clean. You have a destiny to be holy and blameless. He chose you in him before the foundations of the world that you should be holy and blameless. That's a destiny to walk in him. To this you were called, since Christ suffered to you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps, who committed no sin nor was any deceit found in his mouth. That's a destiny that you and I have, to grow into the image and likeness of Jesus. That wherever you go, wherever I go, people smell Jesus. Oh, sure, we're in a growth process. Thank God. When there's lacks, you know, that's not a point of condemnation. That's just an opportunity to reveal that there's an opportunity to grow right there. You know, and so it's in those places that us, the body of Christ, where God has given us, in Matthew chapter 28, I don't have the verse up there, but it says that you and I have been commissioned as we go into all the world to make what? Disciples. That is the call of God on every one of you in this place. And so, take your place. take a place. Can I say this? Can I ask this question? Do you know what it's like to sit in front of somebody that's been wounded and broken? Either to lead them to Jesus, or somebody's wounded and broken, and to speak the word of God into their lives and see their lives transformed before your very eyes, into seeing the nature and character of God. I just want to say this to you. That is, to me, you know, getting married to Paula is awesome. Having Shay and Michelle, awesome. But I'm going to say this. Nothing compares to seeing the life of Jesus fill my life, but more importantly, somebody else's life. And it's not for the few. You know, Sean called me a couple of months ago and said, Caleb wants to get baptized. Well, cool. You going to do it? So guess what? I wasn't going to baptize Caleb. I wasn't going to steal that from him. So when there's snow on the ground and the river, the creek out at 214 was covered nice, there Caleb went in a wetsuit with Sean and Molly. There he baptized him. Why? That joy, that you can never take that away from Sean. To participate with God. Sorry. Feel free to ask questions or stop me. So the body of Christ. Elders. What is the elders? Let's go to the next one. Here's the passage of Scripture. And when you want to know what an elder is, it's really, really simple. And it's very, very important not to put more on elders than what they are. This is the clearest definition in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. I exhort the elders among you, shepherd the flock among you, exercising oversight. Okay, the main verb is to shepherd. Exercising oversight. And the other underlying thing is proving to be an example to those allotted to your charge. That is the role of an elder. The role of an elder is not ministry. It is not ministry. The role of an elder is oversight. Is shepherd, exercising oversight, proven to be an example. We made a mistake in Dwelling Place as putting weight on eldership and putting a weight on them of ministry, and about killed some people, to be honest with you. An elder is a man or woman that has the call of God to see the whole, not to get into the middle of things. This is literally it. You go to Acts chapter 20, verse 17, and you see Paul called the elders of Ephesus to him, and he started speaking to them, and everything he spoke to them was about oversight. 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 And so, you know, you've heard me tell the example. Brandon Simonis was here. Did he already leave? Is he in the back? He's in the back. But when God called, he'd had to ask him to pray about being an elder, and he said, no, I can't be it because God's called me in this particular area of healing, of an evangelist in relationship to healing. Because if he focuses in, the call of God is in him in relationship to healing, and we put on him the weight of oversight, you're going to rape him of that. And so, because an elder is just a man or woman dealing with the oversight of the whole. And let's go to the next slide here, because the goal, now there is authority in relationship to eldership. Let me quote a past scripture that's in 1 Timothy chapter 5, I want to say verse 17 or verse 18, where it says, to the elders who rule well, there is an authority of the eldership to shepherd the flock. But it is not to lord over. Peter's explicit about that in 1 Peter chapter 5. It is not to rule over. And notice this, the goal in the church of the elders is to empower the whole leadership and body. He's got to think, he or she's got to think whole. And to empower, not, so I want you to notice this next phrase, not to take authority or control to themselves. How I knew that when I was operating as an elder and was sort of heading out as the lead elder
How I knew when I was functioning as the man that God called me to is that when I would not try to lead things in and of myself, but the whole goal was to empower the whole eldership. I'll never forget, one of the most traumatic events for me as being an elder was when there was two young men whom I had discipled who had come up in the internship program that God was calling to be a part of a ministry at another place. And we were wanting, they'd ask me, ask us to set them apart as elders in this work. Well, okay, yeah, okay, I'll do it. I believed in these guys. And so I'll never forget. And so we said, you know how we have a tendency to learn things more on the go instead of hearing the counsel of the Lord ahead of time. And we got one guy that goes, said, well, I think we probably all need to have an interview process with these guys. Oh, that sounds like a good idea. So here we are, we're going to set them apart as elders on a Sunday night and say, well, maybe Saturday morning, what can happen is Tulio, Ted, and Pat Johnson, y'all can meet with them, and y'all meet with these guys, talk it out with them. They know them. And, you know, just set them apart as elder. And on Sunday, their families are coming in from other states thus to set them apart as elders. I'll never forget, I was in our trailer out on the property looking out the window, and just so happened one of the guys was there with his family playing on the field out there where we have picnics. And Pat Johnson calls me, and I'm standing there talking to Pat, looking out the window of my trailer to this brother on the field, and Pat goes, I don't think we should set these guys apart as elders. I'm going, what? And I remember in that place and that time, I'm going, I could push this. I've got authority in the church enough. I could push this. But no, I cannot do that. What's more important is the eldership of a whole, the integrity of the eldership of a whole is more important than my opinion about this matter. And I knew who was going to have to deal with the issues of it. It wasn't going to be Pat. It was not going to be Ted. And it was not going to be Tulio that had to talk to these guys and had to talk to their parents. It was going to be who? Me. And so suddenly what I thought was not important, what was important was the eldership as a whole. And see, an elder is not one that takes authority to himself, but the whole goal is to empower the whole. And that's why, y'all, that's why that phrase is there. An elder is not one who lords over. Even though there is authority over the body, authority to speak and then it be heard, but it's not for lording over. And so it's so important for an elder to create that atmosphere of safety and speaking, to be able to see things. Because I will say this to y'all. When you get laid hands on you to be an elder, you will see things, you will hear things that you will not hear or see if you're not an elder. I'm sorry, that's the truth. That's just the reality. That is not to be super spiritual. There's a thing of God putting on them. It's just like in the home where the wife, the destiny of a wife is to be the ruler of the home, you know, according to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14, and also Titus chapter 2, verse 5. There's a thing on Paul to see things and hear things that the husband doesn't. You know how many times she said, Rick, you need to watch this. And I'm going, what? Because why? There's something, a thing from God that gives you discernment. And so this is there. And the trap is this. This is the trap for an eldership or an elder or elders to become involved in the scope of a ministry. Not release authority in ministry to deacons fivefold and the rest of the body. How many times have I seen pastors in churches, they would not let anybody in the church go do the visitation. They would do the, if somebody else did the visitation, they would get upset. Serious, God's honest truth. And so the thing of the elder is to create an atmosphere of the whole to empower, not to take in and of them to themselves. Deacons, this is where the stuff is, y'all. Be honest with you, sorry, I can't, didn't do those words. I didn't get it. Literally at the top, if you could see it, and you can see it in your notes there. What a deacon is one who has charge of a ministry. Charge of a ministry. Ben and Danielle are here on sitting on the front row, and Ben and Danielle have they're deacons in relationship to intercessory prayer. There's an authority that they have been given charge of this. And I want you to watch this. A complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews, these are the first deacons, against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked. And it says daily serving of food, you know, of food is italicized, that's not there. But it's literally of their daily, the word for serving is the Greek word for ministry. But literally for the daily ministry, guess who has the call of God on their lives? Now, it's the whole body, but deacons have the assignment to see that ministry fulfilled. And notice as we go on, so the 12 summon the congregation of this task. Go to the next one. Go to the next slide, please. And, oops, I'm sorry, did I mess up? Yeah. Notice where there's the apostles are saying it's not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. And that's the whole other wording there that you have to deal with. Therefore, select from you among you seven men of the good reputation, full of the Spirit, and here's where you see it, whom we may put in charge of this task. That Greek word there for a charge is one of the Greek words for authority. Who we may put in authority of this task. Specific task. Notice, go to the next slide. This is where you see one of the dudes that hung around with Paul, Tychicus, and a beloved brother and faithful deacon. It's literally that Greek word there. They worded out saying, faithful minister in the Lord, literally, will make everything known to you. Notice this next one in Colossians 4, talking about the same guy, our beloved brother and fellow deacon, and fellow bondservant in the Lord. It's not just to serve somebody that serves in the body, because you'd be repeating it twice. It's literally deacon. And what he would do is he was a guy who would take charge in relationship to things, that Paul would give him charge. A deacon is a ministry, a person who has a charge of a specific ministry in the body. And the ministry occurs in the body. It's not for the deacons to do the ministry, but they have charge of the ministry. Well, like I know Ben and Danielle, their heart is that they're not just the intercessors. The whole thing is the whole body are intercessors. And so that's where the call of God is on them. And we have, curious, how many deacons and deaconesses do we have in here? Raise your hands. Cool. You know what it says about these men and women in 1 Timothy chapter 3? It talks about these have received a higher standing in the faith. It doesn't say that about apostles. It does not say that about elders. It says that about deacons. And so it's kind of crazy that he says that about them. The structure in the church is the body, elders, deacons. And here's one that gets confused. It's fivefold. Let's go to the next slide, please. Oh, can we back up? Yeah, I'm sorry. There it is. There you go. Here's the summary of it. To carry out the weight of leading in ministry in the local church. And here's the trap. Not to submit to the oversight of the elders. See, this is the cool thing to me. Is that elders have the dominant amount of authority in relationship to in the church. But the elder's heart is not to take this authority to themselves. So their heart is to empower. And then the flip side is the weight and the call of ministry is on the deacons. And so what the whole heart is that the elders are wanting to empower the deacons and the fivefold and the rest of the body. At the same time, deacons have to have a heart of submission. And that's sort of the crazy, because I know what it's like, dude, or dudess, or whatever. You know, when you get the call of God on you, God gets on you on something, man, and you got this call of ministry on you, you go, man, I don't care what, don't let him get my way. You know, y'all remember my theme song used to, my phrase used to be ready, fire, aim, you know, until I repented, until I started realizing that I'd fired and people got killed and guess what, you know. But I mean, Simonis knows, just don't get in my way. You know, and that's not cool. You know, there's many times that he's got footprints on his chest where I just went, get out of my way, boy. You know, but he needed to stay in my way. Because in this place, that the worst thing that I could do was just let the fire, you know, we're literally, like it says in Romans chapter 10, zeal without knowledge. And I have been guilty of that. Thinking I know something when I do not yet know. And so that's the trap for a deacon, because the fire of God's on them. I guarantee you the passion of God's on them to do the stuff. And an elder or elders, I mean, to be honest with you, you know what the crazy thing is? You know what an elder? You know what it literally means? Old person. Usually elders or elders, they're the older. They're the ones that been there, done that, and they're wore out. Oh, dude, I want to go on the campus and, oh, dude, I remember that. Oh, Jesus, let me do it again. Oh, I want to start a campus ministry. God, oh, yes, come on, God. Oh, dude. And then the thought of, like, college ministry, it always starts at 10 p.m. By 9 o'clock, I'm asleep. I mean, you old guys, you know? So anyway, sorry. Go to the next slide. Fivefold. He gave some as apostles and prophets. And the whole purpose, it's real simple about fivefold, y'all. Equip the saints. Now let me put a commercial in here, y'all. The Holy Spirit ministers in three different levels. Not levels. But three different spheres in the church. And y'all have heard me speak on this before. Manifestations of the Spirit. For you can all prophesy, but one by one. But not all are prophets, are they? But all can prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all may be exhorted. 1 Corinthians 14:31. So there are manifestations of the Spirit. Guess what? At any point in time, Kenzie Bailey can stand up. Ain't this right, Kins? She may do it right now. And start to lay hands on people, gifts of healing. Right? You ready? Anytime. Anytime. Now, she may not have the ministry of healing, gifts of healing on her, but at any point in time, manifestation of the Spirit can occur. Any one of you can operate in any facet. You can all prophesy, but not all are prophets, are they? All can prophesy. And so there's manifestations, there's gifts. You know, the purpose of a gift is to serve the body. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each of you received a gift, employ it, serving one another. That's the purpose of a gift. The gift of a prophet is to serve the body. The gift of teaching is to serve the body. The third level is equipping of the saints. It's a equipping ministry. The sole purpose of that is to equip others to do the stuff. And there's the thing. Here's the goal of it, is to equip others to do the stuff, not doing the work themselves. That's how you can tell the difference between somebody who's like an evangelist of fivefold or an evangelist who has a gift. The evangelist who has a gift, their passion is to do it. Go out there and lead people to Jesus, and they'll take people with them. But when you see the person who has, when they're around and they just naturally empower others to do it, and that is their passion to power others to do it, that is fivefold. And there's a fine line in that place. And so these three things, these three major things flow within the church. Elders, deacons, fivefold. And they interact together. And that is the whole goal of what we've set up in Dwelling Place. Is right now, It's like we've got a group of elders, and Mitch sort of serves as a point person in relationship to elders. Tulio, wherever he may be, there he goes. Tulio used to be an elder in Dwelling Place, but he's no longer an elder in Dwelling Place. Now Tulio serves as a part of the deacons and heads up the deacons. And then Wheeler used to be an elder also, he and Val. But Wheeler no longer sits in that place. He's sitting in a place to try to rise up the fivefold ministry within the church to equip the church in the work of the ministry. The important thing is that these three groups would interact in a manner in relationship to the cause of God in them to create an atmosphere of growth. And for the is within the whole. Because the ministry is on the whole. And so, the trap. This is interesting, y'all. What God spoke to me about this. The trap is that a fivefold leader, you know, you've seen it. Usually somebody that has a fivefold leader is somebody who is very powerful in a gift to equip. Very powerful. And the danger is that they use the gift to influence and take influence to themselves. And that is the danger. Oh, there's authority in it. They're like an apostle is a fivefold leader. And there's authority in a fivefold in an apostolic leader because there's authority of government. That's what an apostle does. He sets things in order. There's an authority to come into places and set things in order. And it's very powerful. And you know, if you're not using it right, it can get yourself killed. That's what happened to me out in L.A. That was not pretty out there. I love being with Double Gamonica, but I went out there and took that lightly. And I ran into some stuff in the spiritual realm in L.A. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I've traveled all over the world. I mean, not all over. In a lot of cities in the world. And I've been in a lot of different spiritual atmospheres. But L.A. takes the cake. It really does. It really does. It's no accident, y'all. I got sick out there, and 2 days I get back from L.A., I end up in the hospital with AFib. It's no accident. I just went out there. You know, there's a whole other thing. I'll talk about that. But, so anyway, how am I talking? What am I saying? But anyway, using this gift to take under influence and influence others when it's not to do so. You know, that's where the really thing, the important thing, y'all, is anything that's got to do with Jesus. Anything you deals with Jesus about me and about my voice, about what I see, that is not the heart of Jesus. You know, in Philippians chapter 2, it starts talking about have this attitude which was also in Christ Jesus. And it talks about do nothing out of selfish ambition. Do not, it says, not seeking your own interest, but seeking the interest of others. That's how I know that when a fivefold's functioning fully is that, come here, Mitch, Leah, Paula, Wheeler, come here, Ben. Get back to back. Make a diamond. Get back to back. Come in here. I don't know. Is this six? I may have miscounted. It's a sixfold. No, stay there. Stay there. Go ahead. Stay there. So, fivefold. I never understood this when I... Fivefold ministry can be one of the most powerful things that ever affect a church. But it's like nuclear energy. It can either be channeled and bring energy that's safe, or it can bring destruction. But the important thing about it is that fivefold never, and this is true for all the ministries, never lets what they see dominate. Because Daniel right now, the biggest thing he can do is he sees here. And he'll see this, and the danger is he goes, you know, teach. Oh, man, it's got all to be about teaching. Man, it's got to be it. But here's the reality. Daniel cannot see what Paula sees. He surely can't see what Ben sees. He surely can't see what Leah sees. And he can't see what Mitch sees. The safety is this. Go to the next slide. It's to realize, y'all, There are different capabilities. There are different measures in the body of Christ. Wheeler, it's all about body, y'all. Wheeler can't see this, so guess what? He operates in humility, even though equality with God, even though he was in the form of God, and equality with God was not a thing to be grasped. Jesus came in the form of a bondservant, humbled himself even to the point of what? Death. And the biggest thing that Wheeler can do is going, you know, y'all, I know what I can see here. I have to trust in you guys what you see. And I want you to notice the percentage here of what he doesn't see. 80% of what he can't see. He can only see 20%. And this is what's crucial as you deal with deacons and elders and fivefold, is in the body as a whole. As you're going, you know, Tim Williams go, well, dude, man, Mark Akers, I know there's something, you know, I'm feeling something, but, and Mark's going, I'm seeing this. And Tim goes, well, I trust you, bro, that you're seeing something that I can't see. And that's what makes this whole thing work. What's crazy, if Wheeler's the strong dominating leader, he can dominate this whole and disregard what everybody else is seen. And guess what can happen? Impotence or destruction. And guess what? I've been guilty of it all. Thanks, y'all. And so, you know, and I could go on down with all these things, and I've gone a little bit ahead. But I do want, let me just close with this, what I said I introduced is, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. In other words, what he's saying, y'all, not everybody can see everything. I don't care who you are, apostle, whatever, you can't see everything. But to think as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each the measure of faith. 12:4 says, 12:4 says something really cool. Sorry, I should have put it there. 12:4 says, for just as we have many members, not all the members have the same function, so we are many, many. So anyway, I could go on and I could really speak a long time on these next four things on the bottom of your notes. In fact, there's other things there. I just want to just speak this into the spirit, y'all, that every one of us in dwelling place would take our place. Because I believe this with all my heart. The leadership in the men and women in dwelling place, both in elders and fivefold and in deacons, but also in this body, I personally, of course, there's prejudice here, but I don't think you can find any better people on the face of this earth. Now, there may be calls of God that other churches have that we don't have, but that's okay, y'all. You know, there's other churches that have different measures of the grace of God in a specific area, but that's okay. The important thing is for us to be us. And I do know the number one call of God on the church, I don't care what the measure of grace is love. Is love. Because if you look at Ephesians 4:16, where it talks about the body building up itself in love. And that's one thing I believe with all my heart, that this body knows how to love. Oh, sure, we know how to stick our foot in our mouths and we do dumb stuff and love's dumb. But you know what? I believe this, that this people know how to, you people in this place know how to love. Comes out differently, but that's okay. Some of you got the sweet kind of love that's syrupy. And some of you got the get-in-your-face kind of love. You know, and so, but all that's needed. And God just calls us to be us. So, you know, I don't know how I ended up here. It's Sorry, I'd start meddling. Anybody got any questions? Challenges? Will?
It's not a challenge. It's a confession. So just how important this message is and how important this structure is. Before you guys go, Paul, I want you to hear this. So yes, I'm sorry. Yeah. So 3 years ago, Val and I came back. Our family came back after having been planted a church, a dwelling place church at Smith Mountain Lake. And we were there. We were, you know, the head leaders and all that. And when we came back about 3 years ago, and as Rick was preaching, the conviction was so strong. I'm just thankful that we're not a packed house today. That because I really felt, you know, the Lord's been dealing with this for me for a while. And when I came back, I had such a strong idea. I thought I was the missing piece of Dwelling Place. Like, I'm the piece that's going to cause this thing just to really explode and be this amazing church. And so when I came back, I had a lot of strongness on me and a lot of strong ideas and a lot of, and so I just want to, you know, and as a leader, I stepped out of places that I wasn't supposed to be in. I stepped into places I wasn't supposed to be in, and I caused some frustration, some confusing and confusion, and there was dishonor in the midst of all that. And I'm still trying to sort some things out. You know, just I've been asking the Lord, like, I know this is my family. I know I belong here. I don't want to cause the hurt and the damage. And I ask for forgiveness from everyone, but especially Rick and Paula. Because the last thing I want to do is create confusion or division or frustration. So as one of the leaders, I know I've been in that place for the past couple of years. So I ask for forgiveness and just want to find that place to be a blessing together. So.
You know, humility is one of the strongest things you can do. Thanks, Daniel. Anybody else got something they want to ask or say? Or he is forgiven, isn't he? He's awesome. He is awesome. There's a question that somebody needs to ask. I can hear it. I do hear those things. I do. Who's got it? You got it? That's okay.
I still have problems with women as elders and pastors and apostles, and I just try to keep an open mind.
I appreciate that. When we get together sometime, talk it out. Yeah, that's really cool. I'll say this, I don't believe in pastors. Period. Do y'all realize it? There is no gift to pastor. Every time pastoring is always mentioned as a verb, it's always in relationship to elders. The only time you see the gift of pastor, it's in relationship to equipping of the body to pastor. So it's Ephesians 4. So yeah, I'm with you in certain places. So it'd be cool to get together sometime and talk those out. That's great questions. Great, great comments. Anybody else?
In reference to that, I just encourage the body too. If you haven't been here, obviously, you know, these guys have moved here recently, but probably 3 years ago, we went on about a 2-year journey, really, you know, walking through that and really asking those questions. And probably even on the website, there's, you know, messages about, you know, women in relationship to those positions. So I just wanted to mention that as well.
Yeah, it's a great one, Phil. Really is. Jared?
I don't know how long it would take you, but actually this week I was looking through the website trying to find that very, like, message about women and all, like, the different Greek terms and stuff. And I know, like, there's many people that are wondering about it too. So I don't know how long it would take you to do, like, a... like a 2-minute little blurb, but I don't know. It would be powerful.
I think the verse that summarizes it up to me is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where it's misunderstood before it, where it said women should keep silent in the church. But what happens is there's this Greek called an enclitic that's there that literally is used in the grammar that literally disregards, you make a statement and disregard the second. But and without getting into that enclitic, I just want to speak about what that the verse that really comes into my heart that answers Jared's question without teaching fully is the verse where it says in verse 36, and it says, was it from you that the word of God went forth, or is it has it come to you only? Well, do y'all know who the you there is? It's the men. And it is saying, you men, has the word come from you? Or has it come to you only? So to take that whole big teaching and summarize it in one thing, for me to think that God does not speak through Paula, is God going, Rick, are you the only one I'm speaking to? Is it the word only come forth from you? And I'm going, I'm sorry, Lord. Paula has a very intelligent mouth. And out of her mouth comes a lot of truth to which I have do very well to listen to. I still have a hard time with this, y'all, that when I'm preaching and she stands up to speak, y'all applaud when she sits down. I mean. Were you going to say something more?
Well, yeah, I was trying to look at the next verse down. It is interesting how the pronouns there go, and especially the feminine masculine. I think one way to look at it is like, you know, as in all the churches, women are remain silent. And I can hear the problem is in Greek, you don't have that inflection, but I can hear the next verse saying, what? Do you think the word of God has come just to you? But it goes down and it talks about, but all, let me see if I can get the verse. Yeah. Oh, well. When it talks about the gifts, when it talks about speaking, it is not male, it is not female. It includes everyone in how the nouns go. So I think that's really hard to read when you're just reading. English is not a very good translation for the Greek.
It's difficult. And I really appreciate Phil speaking that out and asking that question. And Jared, thank you. I could spend about, you know, 2-3 hours on that subject. Maybe we'll do that in internship one day. So, huh? We'll do it again. We'll do it again. I will say this. I will never forget the Wednesday night that I set apart to preach on this. Was when Danielle came to me and says, Rick, do you know that today is the 80th anniversary of women's right to vote? The first night that we said about women, it's okay for women to speak in the church. It was the same anniversary of women could vote. And so it's kind of interesting. Great question. Any other questions? I know we got to go, but this is family. So, well, cool. There's so much I wish we could say, but y'all be safe going home. Is it still raining? Is it raining or snowing? Raining. Y'all be safe, okay? And can I pray over y'all, protection and blessing? Come here, Nick. Can you introduce your cuz? I think it's so cool.
It's my cousin, Randy Olinger. We met in 2010 when we were both incarcerated, and he just got out last Monday. Was it last Monday? So it's a blessing to have him with me, and he did 9 years, so he's just
God
a...
God has done awesome things around. Talk to Randy, man. He met you up on Jesus.
Somebody bought him a car yesterday for $4,500, so he's really getting blessed. So, yeah.
Ain't that cool? That's so cool. Randy, it's cool to just see Jesus all in you, brother. That's so cool. And Nick, the love on him. Come up to brother, the first thing he says, man, I read all five of your books. So that's cool. He's the only person on the earth, but Nick, praise God. There you go. Love y'all. Okay, let's pray. Wait a minute. What am I going to pray? Come here, Wheeler. Yeah, close this thing out and pray for me, please, as I go to Croatia.
Okay. All right, well, Father, we thank you for this morning. And Lord, we do thank you that we are family. And God, we bless Rick as he goes to Croatia. God, we just pray that, Lord, that there's no taking this lightly, God, that it's not a working, working himself up to be prepared for this, God, but it's a thing in the Spirit. So, Lord, I pray that, Holy Spirit, that you would commune with him, that you would prepare his heart, his mind, his entire soul, his entire body, even his physical body for what's ahead of him. There'd be so much grace on him that, God, he would not get worn out, run down, and that he would not have to work hard to, you know, get the anointing or any of that, that he would just walk in the fullness and the overflow of what you are providing, Lord. So we say increase what you're doing in him more, that he would go and it would just be a cup that overflows and that people would be able to drink and he would not run dry. So, God, we speak overflowing and blessing over Rick and protection and watching over Paula. God, and Lord, we just bless this body as they go today. And, Lord, we just thank you for what you have in store for this family. Lord, we are a blessed family, and good days are ahead of us, and we thank you for that, Lord. So, God, we just we bless Jen as she's celebrating in heaven right now. God, and we bless this body for safe travels as they go home today. Blessings in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Yeah. All right.